Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Well, if you were tired of not doing alleluias this past season, we have 27 of them in this hymn. Is that not correct, Pastor Mark Smith?
That's right. A lot of alleluias. Christ is risen, Tom.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And today is Tuesday, April the 18th in the year of our Lord 2017, and that's the hymn that is assigned for this second Sunday of Easter.
Uh-huh.
O sons and daughters of the King.
How was your Easter?
When did it occur?
Last Sunday.
Yes, I know. No, it was just tremendous. Yeah, we...
You have an Easter breakfast at the church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had an early service, and then I asked some people not to attend next Sunday. Because we were 25 minutes over in doing communion.
Oh, wow.
300 people. And I wouldn't be able to get to my Bible study, so I asked, kind of skip next Sunday maybe, if you want. Or... No, I didn't.
I have a feeling some of them will.
without even telling them. Isn't it true they say the Sunday after Easter is the least attended Sunday?
Yes, it tends to be.
And so what I try to do is to get the Sunday school kids to sing.
Yeah, and you try to plan something that brings
more people out. Too many parents were out of town. You know, a lot of pastors take off next Sunday, this Sunday.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they have
field
worker or something. Yeah. No. I did 14 sermons in 14 days.
Yes, I know. We all know. We've all heard it many times.
And what was interesting...
Same sermon.
It was the same sermon. And they didn't know it.
You don't stick too close to your manuscript.
No, actually, it's 16 sermons in 16 days because they switched me for today. We're going to be leaving early to preach here.
Oh, uh-huh.
I already did the church extension and then at the IC International Center. And I'm all set to preach, so we better get going on this Him, O sons and daughters of the King.
Well, we can kind of skip over the alleluias and save some time that way, right?
Yes. Well, a great hymn by Martin Luther, right?
Yes. No. No, not a, not
you
a Martin.
Don't know what Martin Luther wrote.
I didn't think he wrote this one.
Well, you didn't think he wrote the last one we did, and he did. Oh, my. Be so kind as to read the first stanza, and if you don't want without the alleluia.
I'll just do one alleluia. How about that?
Okay.
O sons and daughters of the King, whom heavenly hosts in glory sing, today the grave has lost its sting. Alleluia.
So just alleluia for the Father, and you skip the Son and the Holy Spirit?
No.
I know.
Okay, I'll do three. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Yes, I always say hallelujah. My wife corrects me. She says it's alleluia.
It's done both ways.
Yes. But sons and daughters of the King, what does it mean today the grave has lost its sting? Well, what sting did the grave have? Boy, you are really set for Easter, aren't you?
Well, of course, it just seems like an obvious answer. Christ rising from the dead, he's conquered sin, death, and hell. And because he arose, we too will rise from our graves on the last day.
Right.
He's taken the sting out of death.
That word sting actually appears in 1 Corinthians 15.
Oh, death, where is thy sting?
Yes. And you know what the sting is the law.
Ah, good point.
The curse of the law.
The curse of the law, right.
Yes. Actually, I got that from Martin Luther, so who got it from Jesus. So. Remember, I'm a super plagiarist. So.
Yes, I know.
So I borrow everything because I can't think of anything that's good myself. But boy, there's a lot I read that's really good.
Absolutely.
And the sting of the grave, in the day that you sin, your death should be the result. But instead, it was Jesus' death.
Right.
And that's why the grave has lost its sting. It's no longer a portal to hell, but a portal to heaven. In fact, did you read the article by President Matthew Harrison for the resurrection? It's entitled something along the lines, you only have your left leg or your left foot in the grave.
No, is that the one in the Lutheran Witness?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I bet that is good.
Yeah, it's excellent. Because, in a sense, the person who has died, whose body is in the grave, the spirit is already with Jesus. And so we're just waiting for the other part of the body.
That's right.
You know. I'll do stanza two. That Easter morn at break of day, the faithful women went their way to seek the tomb where Jesus lay. So, what was their purpose?
Well, to anoint the body, to finish the job that they had to hurriedly do the Friday evening.
Yes.
Or Friday afternoon. They had to do a kind of a rushed job to get him buried.
Were they even involved with that, or was it just Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus?
Joseph of Arimathea, but Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
And there was one or two other ladies that were... At the burial. They saw which tomb it was. There's no mistaking what tomb he was buried
in. What were they worried about? Rolling.
Oh, rolling the stone away, of course.
It was a big stone.
Who's going to roll the stone away for us this morning? Right.
All right. Stanza three.
An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee. Hallelujah.
Yeah, he says another thing that every translation is wrong. He says, you seek Jesus who was crucified. And James Veltz in his new book.
Is crucified.
Who is. It's a present tense.
And why is that important?
Oh, it's huge.
It's kind of like, I am baptized.
Yes.
Not that I was baptized,
right.
I am baptized.
Because the effects keep on going. That's
right.
A good one. The one I like using, and I'm walking down the street with my father, and somebody knows me, but he doesn't know my father. He said, who's that? I said, oh, this was my father.
Yeah.
After my dad says, what do you mean was? I said, well, you brought me into the world. Wasn't that it? He says, no, I continue to be your father. And it's,
why is it important in connection with his crucifixion?
Because it is finished, which means all the blessings come to us because of the crucifixion. The crucifixion is the foundation of everything. Apart from the crucifixion, there's no resurrection. There's no ascension. There's no Pentecost. Because he first had to finish that particular task. And in reality, the resurrection is just an assurance on the part of the Father that what Jesus has done has been accepted.
Okay, I agree with that. But you know, at the same time, a lot of people say, well, the resurrection is it. If you don't believe in the resurrection, forget it. You're outside of the faith.
There's lots of people who believe in the resurrection and are outside the faith. Like the devils.
Like the devil, yes.
And the Pharisees.
Right.
They believe he rose from the dead. They paid the soldiers. So believing the resurrection...
But
isn't saving faith.
If you don't believe in the resurrection.
Well, no, Adam and Eve didn't believe in it. They didn't even know about it.
They knew that the serpent's head would be crushed, though.
Yes, yes.
They knew that much. They didn't know all the details, but they knew that God would send a Savior through them.
Yes.
And that he would crush Satan's head.
Like that man born blind was already a believer before Jesus saw him.
Right.
Because he says, who's the Messiah that I may, you know, worship him?
Uh-huh.
And the one you're speaking to is he.
He knew about the promise of the Messiah.
Yes, yes. So the people were saved. And to deny the resurrection, that ever occurred, normally would mean, therefore, you're denying the application of it. Because if you don't believe in the resurrection, there's no application for it. So I agree with you there. But I've always considered, remember what Paul says, and this is where the present comes in again, we preach Christ
crucified.
Yes. Christ crucified. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, he makes a big deal. If he had not risen from the dead, then you are still in your sins. Yes.
Your faith is in vain.
Yeah. So I would never separate the cross from Easter.
They're both.
Yeah. In fact, you can hardly preach during Lent without bringing in Easter.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, some of the hymns. That one, Go to Dark Gethsemane.
Yes.
It talks about the resurrection of the last verse.
That's right. All righty. Stanza 3.
An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee. I think we already read that.
That's right. So, stanza 4, please.
That night, the apostles met in fear. Among them came their master dear and said, my peace be with you here.
That is really critical.
Yes.
That what's added here, I don't think he says in the original Greek, my peace.
He says, peace be with you.
Peace be with
That's
you.
That's right.
But,
because they were afraid. They were afraid of what his reaction would be. You know, they'd all fled.
Yes.
They left him alone.
Well, you ever hear the monkey's paw?
Yes, I have.
That was, they found a pawn, they had three wishes. And the first wish was they would have $1 million.
Yes.
And it was a knock on the door and their son had been killed in a motorcycle, or in a car accident, but it was $1 million insurance. The next wish is he would come back from the dead. And unfortunately, they had to have a closed coffin, so they weren't even, he was so mangled. And as they realized that, the third wish was that he'd be back in the grave. That's called the monkey's paw.
Huh, monkey's paw. I've heard that before.
Yeah, I saw a little movie on it. And it's really, that's what the apostles were like in the upper room. Imagine, you hear that he's risen from the dead and he's coming back.
Yes.
After you denied him,
that's
after
right.
you fled from him.
That's why he said, peace be with you.
That's right.
And he told the ladies, tell them I ascend to my Father and your Father.
Yeah, that's good.
You've been redeemed.
That's excellent.
He's
yes.
your Father too now.
That's right. That's a good point.
Peace has been made.
Stanza 5. Now, I don't know why this guy's named after me, but anyway.
I don't know. When Thomas first the tidings heard that they had seen the risen Lord, he doubted the disciples' word.
Yeah. Doubting Thomas.
Yes.
Nothing
more be said. Need to be said.
No. Yeah, my parents took a look at me when I was born. Oh, that's Doubting
did
Thomas.
Did they ever tell you why they named you Thomas? Did they just like the name?
No, I don't know. Thomas, and then my brother was James, the other was David.
Do you have any ancestors?
All three like are biblical names.
Uncles or anybody that was named Thomas?
No, not that I'm aware of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mark, you're biblical.
Yes, I think the doctor that delivered me was named Mark, I think. I'm not saying that's why I was named Mark, but if I remember right, I think the doctor that delivered me
in
my birth was named
mother
Mark.
Mother said, thank you, Mark. The nurse said, okay, that's his name.
We got it.
Yeah. When Thomas first heard them, he doubted the disciples' word. But look at verse 6. My pierced side, O Thomas, see, and look upon my hands, my feet, not faithless, but believing be. Now, that's not what he says either. He says, put your hands in my
yes,
side.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's that old question.
Yes.
Did Thomas actually put his hand in the side or not?
I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's
once
kind
you
of a debate.
Well,
it
is because the Bible isn't clear, but here it's
pretty
clear.
I've actually seen sermons based on that question.
Really?
Did Thomas actually touch the Lord or not?
Yeah, but look at here. It's my pierced side, see, look upon my hands, my feet. So it's only by sight that this particular writer, who's Jean Tisserand, thinks this is what happened. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't believe that he had to touch him.
He said, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
All he had.
Yeah. Believing. Do you know that's the first time that a disciple referred to him as God in the whole Bible?
No, but Peter, well, how about Peter's confession? What did he confess? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
He said that.
That's right, but he didn't say he was God.
He did not say he was God, right?
No. And even there, Jesus said, by the way, Peter, you didn't think about that on yourself. You got that from my Heavenly Father.
That's right.
You know, because you know he didn't understand it. Because the next thing is, I'm going to be crucified. Peter says, no, you're not. We'll protect you. And Jesus says, get thee
behind me, Satan.
Yes.
So this is the only time, as far as you know, where
the first time.
The first time. The first time.
Oh, after this. Paul?
Right. Well, that's why it sounded kind of remarkable to me when you said that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. First time
the
disciples.
The first time that somebody.
The disciple referred to him as God.
As God.
That's. I'm borrowing that. That's what I read.
What?
That's what I read from a pretty good scholar.
Oh, so. I see. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Seven. Go ahead.
No longer Thomas then denied. He saw the feet, the hands, the side. You are my Lord and God, he cried.
Notice it was by sight that he saw that.
Yeah.
But once more, I think you can make the point, even from the hymn, that it was because of the words of Jesus. My pierced side, O Thomas, see. My pierced side. He had already been told that he had been risen from the dead. And so when he saw that, wow, that's really important. But probably the next verse is the most important verse in the whole hymn, verse 8.
You want me to read it? Okay. How blessed are they who have not seen, and yet whose faith has constant been, for they eternal life shall win. Alleluia.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting English.
That includes all of us, doesn't it?
Yes. Remember, it wasn't Jean Tisserand who wrote that. He probably wrote that in, I guess, German. But Jean Mason Neal translated, for they eternal life shall win. And I think they did that because they had to find something that rhymed.
It says it's attributed to Jean Tisserand and that the translator is Jean Mason Neal.
Right, right, right. That means that we think Tisserand was the guy who wrote it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not as sure.
Right around 1500 or so.
Yes. Is Tisserand German or could it be English?
It sounds, like you said, it sounds French.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. But how blessed are they who have not seen and yet whose faith has constant been? At the Easter breakfast, I got there late because I was getting ready for the next service.
Sure.
Everybody was sitting down, and there was one spot, and there was a gentleman with a beard, and I know he rides a motorcycle, and he's visited occasionally, mm-hmm. So I sat down. By the end of the conversation, I got his name. It looks like a transfer coming in and such. And you know why? This was interesting. He was talking about, you know, I really didn't like your sermons when I got here, he said.
Oh, is that right?
I said, why? Because every time you did a sermon, you sent me to hell.
Hmm. Wow.
And I said, that's the purpose of a sermon. It's called the law. And we had an excellent conversation. But I never heard it said quite that way.
No, that is not a compliment, in a way. I mean,
he meant it.
Well, you want your parishioners, you want the listeners to walk out. You want to bring them to their knees, but you want them absolutely assured of their salvation in Jesus Christ. That's how you want them walking out.
Yes.
I mean, it's okay to bring them to their knees and help them realize. There's no help apart from Jesus Christ. He's my only hope.
But see, once you're in the thralls of hell, and then you get released from it in the rest of the sermon with the gospel.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's why he is interested in talking about joining the church. But be that as it may, that's what law and gospel is all about.
Sure.
I started a question recently. I said, is the goal of a sermon to make a person afraid of God? put your hand up if that's the goal. Nobody put their hand up. I said, oh, that's too bad, because that's precisely the goal of the law.
Yeah, it's to afflict those that are comfortable in their sins and to comfort the afflicted.
How does Luther explain the commandment? We should
fear and love God.
Yes. And I just find it unnecessary how many people try and say that fear means just God-fearing and such, not really understanding. No, afraid of God. Yes, that's the fear that the law brings. So, stanza 9.
On this most holy day of days, be laud and jubilee and praise. To God your hearts and voices raise. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now, wait a minute. On this most holy day of days, this is the second Sunday of Easter.
Yeah, but every Sunday is a little Easter, every Sunday. Even Sundays in Lent is a little Easter.
Well, I think that he's writing this about Thomas doubting. When did that occur?
Oh, I see.
On this most holy day of days.
Yeah.
But then
That happened, what? Was it a week later? What
yes.
It was somewhat later.
But the first thing is, on this most holy day of days, he heard that Jesus had appeared and he doubted.
Right.
That was on Easter.
Yeah.
So, this is really a great hymn. O sons and daughters of the King. Are you preaching on Doubting Thomas this week?
I haven't decided. Yeah. I took yesterday off, and I'm going to probably come to that decision today.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some other good readings.
I've got a whole file of sermons dealing with doubt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a whole file of them.
Well, you're really good at that. No, I mean writing the sermons, dealing with doubt.
Well, a lot of them have to do with the story of Doubting Thomas.
Really?
Course. Yes.
Oh, my, I appreciate that.
You know, and then that comes up, it comes up every Easter.
Yes.
So really, over, 35 years of preaching or whatever, you build a file of doubting sermons. Of sermons on the subject of doubt.
That's a great question to start a lecture. Should a pastor build a file of doubting sermons? Well, according to Marsh Smith, yes.
No.
Well, yes. Because that's the law, and then the gospel comes through.
Well, I mean, this is in the lectionary every single Easter. It deals somewhat with
doubting
right. Thomas.
Yes. Yes, somewhere. That's interesting to note. Well, we are going to let you hear more of the verses that we have, O sons and daughters of the King, because I'm on my way downstairs to the chapel to preach for today. And are you going to be here next Tuesday, God willing?
Yeah, in fact, I think I'll be here I'll be here for the Share-a-thon, too.
Yes. Yes. So, think about that to provide additional funds for KFUO, so we can all continue the work here in the International Center. And that'll be starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we don't have regular programming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. And we will now listen to the rest of the hymn, or at least up to the point where they have to turn it off.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.